The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Little Santana for you on a Friday. Carlos Santana is a God-fearing man. I met him many years ago, and obviously very gifted in the area of music and writing, and some could say singing. Welcome back to the program. I want to begin with Scripture. This hour, I hope and pray we can get into some conversations on Open Phone Friday, by which we may not necessarily agree. And after I read Scripture, I am going to read a commentary that may upset some of you. It is very direct. It's written by Abby Johnson about abortion. But let me begin with Scripture. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." The prayer for spiritual strength. Do you need spiritual strength these days? I would never say no to that. But we are facing, well, depending on who would give you their view, their perspective, we're 4 days away from a national election. The mainstream media shows no sign of easing up with the 24/7 doom and gloom and fear-mongering. In fact, let me read you an email I received, if I can find it. Speaking of the doom and gloom. "Frank, I just don't know what to believe anymore politically. I think Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham make a lot of sense. Yet I've always been a Democrat and believed in their ideals of putting people before profit. I'm sure pretty much what you believed before becoming a Christian. But the Democrats have changed, and doggone it if Tucker Carlson doesn't sound like my idealized vision of Democrats. He's anti-war. He had on Glenn Greenwald, the man who we talked about earlier. He had Tulsi Gabbard on more than anyone. I respect current Fox so much, and I think if people watched it as it, rather than its past reputation, they'd be surprised. They're smart, and they do allow other views. Meanwhile, it seems whenever I tune into CNN, it's all about COVID, the deaths, and what Trump is not doing. I've started to call them the COVID News Network or the Sanjay Gupta Show. But I'm stuck. I'm not a Christian, so a lot of conservative priorities go over my head. I can't give Trump my vote. But Frank, there's no news anymore. You have to pick your news. It's sad. I'm just numb. I will vote for Tulsi Gabbard and see what happens. Sounds like Biden, unless the silent Trump voters speak up, we'll know in about a week. Listener Jeff, who I hold in high regard. Yeah, I've made the mistake. Earlier this week, I t- tuned into local news, and literally 3 minutes in, I'm like, I'm not leaving the house today. It's awful out there. Or you watch CNN. It's just doom and gloom. If you listen to Joe Biden, look, and it's open phone Friday. You want to call in? We have open lines. 888-528-2557. All I hear is doom and gloom out of his mouth and what's wrong with the president. I don't hear anything else. And maybe somehow it's strangely, what would be the word? I don't know how I could even put that into words. It's soothing in some weird, bizarre way. When somebody just does doom and gloom, you're like, okay, yeah, it's really bad out there because I'm afraid. As if somehow he's got the answer. Joe Biden being. And if you just look at his platform and his positions, I don't know how anybody could put their little X check mark, whatever we do these days, and call yourself a Christian. In fact, we're going to circle back. I know there is one of our most high-profile pastors has said, look, I understand why you can't vote for him. But we'll get to that in a moment. But Jeff, thank you for that. Why do you watch mainstream media? It's beyond me. Why would you let any of that in your mind? Maybe you can call 888-528-2557. We'll move you right to the front. If you watch the mainstream media at all, please tell me why. What does it serve? What purpose does that serve for you and help you in this beginning of month number 8 of COVID-19, right? By the way, I just got this breaking story. I don't know how recent it is, if it's just breaking or it was out earlier today. I think it's within the last hour. Twitter is back down in its battle with the New York Post. They've unlocked their main account after 2 weeks. You know, it all started when the New York Post ran the Hunter Biden expose, and Twitter freaked out and just shut it down. The Post said, there's no way we're going to delete anything, which was the condition that Twitter said they would reopen the account. But they didn't back down. Somehow 2 weeks later, their Twitter account is opened up again. And in a series of tweets, Twitter says it's now revising its, quote, hacked materials policy and updating our practice of not retroactively overturning prior enforcement, end quote. Anyway. All right. What do I want to do here? We've got line phone calls coming in, 888-528-2557. When you call in, you will talk to Zach today. Zach is on his Friday behavior. So he's who you talk to when you call in. It's open phone Friday. Anything and everything open for discussion, debate, questions, comments, whatever you want to share. We have open lines, 888-528-2557. In fact, let's talk to Napoleon in Covina. Napoleon, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
How you doing, my brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you. Frank, I had a typical question to ask you. Do you find in what's going on in society, what's going on across the nation, as far as a lot of people passing judgment on one another, especially when it comes down to the presidency, those candidates that are running for president, do you see how CNN versus Fox, everybody taking and picking and choosing according to as far as judgment? And what I really mean, though, Frank, is that I see a lot of this going on, you know, and it's kind of disturbing to see how people can judge people for what they see and what they appears to see, but not really what's on the inside of a heart. And it's just baffling to me because I see so much of it's going on to where the point, Frank, really, it's kind of disturbing to me.
I will say this. I agree with you especially in spirit. And if you and I were to sit down for a while, we may have some differences, but what I hear you saying is, at the very least, there's a lot of finger-pointing, a lot of blaming, like someone else is the problem. I think Scripture, when Jesus talked about the log in your own eye versus the speck in somebody else, I'm not a biblical scholar, but in part I take that as him saying, take responsibility for your life. Don't blame other people. Start with your own sin. But in terms of the larger thing, and this is not where you are going, but it gives me an opportunity to share in part, and I do thank you, Napoleon. There are, in the media, and I'll give you an example, there are stories of information that's shared that goes unquestioned. You've seen a lot of that over the last few years with the Trump administration. Like CNN publishing anonymous claims without verifying anything. Stay with me. Right? We saw the New York Times op-ed piece 2 years ago, this past September. Remember, quote, "I am part of the resistance inside the Trump administration." Huge story. New York Times ran with it. CNN ran with it. No attribution, just one source that wanted to remain anonymous. The New York Times said, "We're truly dealing with a senior figure who can no longer stay silent under Trumpian fascism." That's a direct quote. All these allegations, all these things. And we come to find out, now 2 years later, it was Miles Taylor, a nobody, that worked in the administration, and yet CNN ran with this important story. Just his view, saying things, and CNN running with it as if lock, stock, and barrel, the absolute truth. Then you get into, on the other side, somebody like Tony Bobulinski, who's got emails, text messages, recorded phone calls, names, dates. He says he's met with the Biden family, met with Joe Biden twice, that they've worked overseas, attaining huge amounts of money. He says the idea that Joe Biden could be the president, has he compromised his position? I can run the audio clip. Tony Bobulinski says, absolutely. So here's the difference, in part. And I would respectfully disagree with you about one thing. The analogy that somehow there's the CNNs and there's the Fox News. I would lop in CNN with basically all the mainstream media. It's all the same pablum, all the same fear-mongering. Then you get Fox by itself, and I don't watch Fox. I do watch Tucker Carlson. That's it. That's what I expose myself in the mainstream. Do I agree with everything Tucker Carlson says? Not everything, but the man's brilliant. His commentaries, you should all watch his commentaries, whether you believe with what he says or not. He's thought-provoking. He's deep. He's insightful. And he's telling a lot of things that are important to freedom of speech and truth by which the mainstream doesn't even give one moment to. Just like Greenwald that resigned from his own periodical that he formed 5 years ago. There's no criticism in the mainstream of Joe Biden. It will be silenced, let alone you've got somebody like Tony Bobulinski. He's got a lot of information, a lot of facts. Supposedly the FBI has been investigating some kind of money laundering thing that may have ties to it from a year ago. So my deal, I think the example of, you know, the CNNs and then the Fox, I don't think it's a fair comparison. It's the mainstream media, mostly, overwhelmingly, and then you got like a channel like Fox that in some ways I think has a bad rap too. But just watch Tucker Carlson. You want to get some info that's not out there? He'll challenge the way you see things and think about things. Flacco in Santa Ana, I will tell you, you don't know this, but you are one of my most popular calls when you call in. I get emails about you, Flacco. Thank you for calling the program.
Well, I love calling into the show. You know, the media mob, they can convince its simpleton viewers of a lie. They could tell them black is white, white is black. They'll believe it because they're lazy. They don't want to study and find out what the true facts are. They just listen because they don't have any energy to go seek out the truth. You know, this type of stuff is creating all the violence. The media is responsible for it because it gets people upset. And then they want to go after the other people. It's going to be like a civil war. You know what I'm saying? And we don't want to see that type of violence. But that's what's going on. Joe Biden gets up and lies and lies, and the people believe it. I don't know what to think.
I think you do know what to think. I think that's just an expression. I think actually not only do you know what to think, you're a deep thinker, and you have an ability to see truth from lies, maybe in part because of your life experience. Maybe in part that's where the Lord has brought you. And I'm not here to criticize you, but I think sometimes we have things that we express that aren't the truth. So when you say you don't know what to think, is that literally the truth? You're confused? I don't think you're confused at all.
I'm not confused because I know what the truth is. And I know the truth is that they are liars and they want to deceive the people. And if I remember my Bible, it says in the last days that people will prefer to believe a lie rather than the truth. And there'll be many deceived. And we're on that pathway right now, I think.
Flacco, as I said, thank you for the call. When you do call in, I get emails about you. Thank you for sharing, and I look forward to the next time. In terms of the media, I will say this, and I've said this in the past. I think the mainstream media is extremely manipulative. And I think there's a bit of exploitation going on with people, large crowds of people that have real pain about challenges in life or past trauma. And so in that manipulation, there are people that get to a point where they say, I don't want to even consider facts. Don't talk to me about facts. I'm just going to come from emotion. And I think in part, that's what the mainstream media does through their manipulation. I also think spiritually, there is a situation right now where we are living at a time of deception. Definitely a time of deception, spiritual warfare, distortion. We're seeing things like the mocking of God's creation. Fear, panic, hype. That's kind of the buzz of today in the mainstream. And how we respond to what I will say is this spiritual war defines what world is to come. We hear a lot of buzz about the elections and there's going to be all this violence and mayhem. We don't know what's to come. As my friend Victor Mark says, be prepared, not paranoid. But I absolutely believe we're living in unprecedented times. I pray that the scales are removed from people's eyes. I say that on the program a lot. Some people, I get emails, what are you talking about? Don't live your life in fear. Don't be afraid of tyrants who run off of fear. Live your life. Freedom is essential. And pray that the spirit of darkness is lifted because there's a lot of people that are deceived right now.
Well, that must, you're saying the coronavirus is not real. It's a hoax.
No, I'm not. It's real. Do I believe 220,000 people have died literally from COVID-19? I don't. I think numbers are manipulated. And I'm not going to go into a three-minute monologue about, we know a lot about the elderly. We have to protect. Comorbidities, pre-existing circumstances are a lot. There are, let's just say out of the 220,000, probably safe to say The overwhelming majority are not healthy people, young people. The survival rate is what, 99.94%? And we're shutting down the economy. Lockdowns over such a thing. Early on, I think maybe those that are in positions of authority, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They didn't know what's going on. But very soon after we started to hear about what was going on, this turned into a political issue, undeniably. Mask wearing. There's tons of studies that contradict each other about the masks do anything. And you've got Tony Fauci. Oh, next year we wear masks all year long. Or Joe Biden. 3 month minimum mandatory mask wearing. He holds it up and says 100,000 people lives will be saved because of mask wearing. It's nonsense. It's fear mongering. But do we want to be informed? Do we really want to do everything that we can to keep our freedoms? Do we really want to understand the history of this country? Not just all the dark history that sometimes it's all based on slavery and racism and the system needs to be completely turned over. Or the power that people give somebody like Colin Kaepernick, who went from, police, prisons need to be reformed. Now he's saying it all needs to be abolished. We need to live in a society where we all just get along. There's no crime. It's all about love. Really? What kind of a gated community do you live in? How much security privately do you have? See, these are people that don't live in the real world. They live in their mansions. Don't get me going on Eric Garcetti. Don't get me going on our governor, who was given a mansion, basically, multi-million-dollar mansion, because of his business, Plump Jack. And I would not be so critical if truly, and I'm not saying it's all on the Democrat side. We've got some problems with the Republicans, too. But the bottom line is this idea that they work for us. Not anymore. We don't hold them accountable. These are people that are obsessed with power. And the proof is in the policy. Color codes? Please. The largest voice in LA County, Barbara Ferrer, who's not even a doctor. She has a degree in social welfare, and she's the one that's telling us, stay inside? Let alone the Thanksgiving edicts. Did you ever think you'd wake up to a time where the government is telling you what to do in your own home? It's here. And some of you go, yeah, that's because this is really bad and we need to protect people. Okay. We fear, as Christians, the coronavirus more than we fear God. That's a big part of the problem. 888-528-2557. We have two open lines. It's Open Phone Friday. You're welcome to call. When we return, part of what we will share is a commentary from a former director of Planned Parenthood. Her name is Abby Johnson. You may have seen the John Piper editorial. Abby Johnson has written in response. It's titled, Excuse Me, John Piper, but Pride Doesn't Kill Babies. That and much more as we continue with this Friday edition of This the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. There's a large part of me that hopes and prays somehow a day in the not-too-distant future, we'll kind of show the behind-the-scenes of this program, because there are some moments where I think not only would it be informative, but it'd be entertaining. Something I just saw right now, I praise God we're not on video. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just going to leave it at that. Welcome back to the program. All right, it is Open Phone Friday. We're taking calls on any and all topics. Before I read Abby Johnson's editorial, I have to take this call. By the way, I get calls on the screen,
And I'm like, oh, I have to take that call. And then you don't hang on. Maybe cell service drops out. Maybe there's not a good connection, so we lose you. I get all that. But don't intentionally call the program, get screened, and then hang up because you get cold feet. Okay? So that being said, Bobby in Westminster. Bobby, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. My question was this. 3 years ago when I called you, you didn't want to identify President Donald Trump as a believer. What changed your mind?
I don't understand the question. I don't remember the call. 3 years ago, there was really no...
3 years ago.
Okay, I'm saying I don't remember your call 3 years ago.
Okay, let me explain myself.
You don't have to explain yourself. Let me answer your question. Hold on. Just time out.
Okay, well, answer it then. Answer it.
3 years ago, there were not a lot of reports about Donald Trump saying he was a Christian. So continue on with your interesting observation here. So what is it you want to ask or what are you saying?
Okay, well, let me explain another way. When I did call you, you got kind of like insulted and you kind of like shrugged me off and you hung up. I told you.
I've never hung up on anybody in my life, so yeah. I don't appreciate the accusation, but continue. I'll keep listening.
Yes, you have.
I didn't hang up on you. I've not hung up on people. I say thank you and I put them back on hold, but I don't hang up on people. So what's your point here?
That's the same thing.
No, it's not. Hanging up and moving on to another call is not the same thing.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
You never come back to me because we're hung up on.
But no, okay, go ahead. I'll let the listener decide for themselves if I put somebody on hold and move to somebody else, if that's the same thing as hanging up on you. So make your point.
The same thing.
Okay.
Okay, the point is, I was explaining that my pastor had a hard time identifying the president as Donald Trump. And now he...
Your pastor had a hard time identifying the president as Donald Trump?
As a Christian.
Oh, okay. That's not what you said. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So my question to you is that what changed your mind now because of the popularity of the president being a Christian? Did it change your mind because of his popularity as a believer?
Okay, my mind wasn't changed. There is more information. In fact, the other day, for the first time to my recollection, Donald Trump is on record as saying he is now a non-denominational Christian. He said that in an interview the other day. I don't recall him saying that in the past. So I'm not sure what you want to hear.
So I want to hear, do you identify him as a brother now?
It seems like by all accounts, yeah.
Okay, that's good. God bless you.
Okay.
Have a good evening.
All right, thank you. Have I met him? Do I know personally? I don't know. Some of the pastors on his faith council, Jack Graham, Greg Laurie, I'm thinking friends that I know, Daryl Strawberry, all say, yeah, the president's a Christian. These are men. These are my brothers that I trust greatly. So either they're lying or... He must be a new Christian. Now, what's the point in this conversation? I don't know Donald Trump personally. I know people that do. And they say what you see and hear in the media is not who he is. Is that an excuse? Is that me giving him a free pass on his character flaws? We covered that with Al Mohler earlier this week. No. Al Mohler called him Genghis Khan. But his policies speak for themselves. Pastors from different denominations have different perspectives. I won't name names, but you can have a pastor that his church, you can register to vote outside his church. You can sign the Recall Gavin Newsom petition. And I praise God for this particular pastor. I'm not naming names, Jack Hibbs. Man's a warrior. But you can go to another church and another pastor may not make any mention of politics or may not be specific about issues. So let's get into this. For me, I've said this.
The sole reason why I voted for Donald Trump in 2016 was because he said he was against abortion. Now, 4 years later, look at his policies. Now, John Piper is not here to share his thoughts, but his commentary is out there, and I've had some of my left-leaning progressive Christian friends send me the article. Look at John Piper. See, he's not voting for Trump because of his character. So let me read you just Abby Johnson's take on it. One person's take, but I think noteworthy. Abby Johnson is a former director of Planned Parenthood. If you don't know her story, it's easy enough to find out. Her movie Unplanned, many people found that this woman was part of an abortion, saw an ultrasound on the screen and said that was it. And it changed her life. Now she has a ministry. But she wrote this about John Piper. It says, "Excuse me, John Piper, but pride doesn't kill babies." Abby Johnson writes, "Politics is a dirty business. Mudslinging is common. It's hard to figure out what's true and what's not. But one issue, another dirty business, is something that Christians in particular should know the truth about, abortion. And you know who should be pulling together to stump for a candidate who stands against the killing of our most vulnerable human beings? Our faith leaders. But instead, we see a lot of some," and she's alluding to John Piper, "of our most well-known faith leaders causing confusion and dissension. In a recent article by John Piper, he stated, quote, that boastfulness, end quote, is a bigger problem than abortion. Quote, he said, I think it's baffling and presumptuous to assume that pro-abortion policies kill more people than a culture saturated pro-self-pride. When a leader models self-absorbed, self-exalting boastfulness, he models the most deadly behavior in the world, end quote. Abby Johnson writes, no one likes a braggart, but I've never seen boastfulness rip a baby limb from limb. Yet I've seen an abortion suction tube do just that. I've seen a 13-week-old innocent baby fight for his life against that abortion instrument only to die trying. What a ridiculous comment from someone seen as a faith leader. And what a ridiculous justification to vote for a party that stands for the expansion of elective abortion through 40 weeks for any and every reason. This is pathetic. Pride does not kill babies. Boastfulness doesn't tear them apart in their mother's wombs. Arrogance doesn't cause a baby to flee for their lives as sharp instruments seek to rip them limb from limb while they're still alive. No, abortion does that, and abortion alone. We cannot legislate pride or boastfulness or arrogance, but we can legislate abortion. In fact, we can make it illegal. And that is what is on the line. Life is on the line. The innocent lives of precious babies are on the line, not pride and not arrogance. Abby Johnson writes, grow up. You aren't voting for prom king. This isn't a popularity contest. Additionally, Phil Vischer, the creator of the VeggieTales, released a video implying that a vote for pro-life policies was a wasted vote. I don't consider Mr. Vischer a faith leader by any means, but I did find it quite ironic that the creator of a children's series doesn't find a pro-life vote worthwhile. After all, don't you need children around to keep your VeggieTales empire going? Anyway, not only was the video quite condescending to those of us who dedicate our lives to protecting the unborn, it was full of falsehoods. The video stated that the reason anyone votes pro-life is to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's a false assumption. Roe is one of the many, many reasons pro-life voters vote for candidates who don't support abortion. But it's not the only reason. Do you think politics doesn't have a place in our religious communities? I'd wholeheartedly disagree. Unfortunately, we live in a society where sin has crept in and clouded societal judgment, just like it has throughout history, during the Holocaust, during slavery, and abortion. I wish we didn't have to legislate the killing. That killing of unborn babies is wrong.
I wish our society looked at growing children in the womb as Christ sees them, perfect creations with infinite dignity and worth endowed by our Creator. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have already promised to work to overturn every state legislative victory that has helped to decrease the amounts of abortions. That means no more ultrasound legislation, no more 20-week bans, no more bans of state funding for abortion facilities, no more waiting periods, no more parental consent for abortion, no more care for infants born alive after failed abortions. No, this is not just about Roe, it's about so much more. This is why politics must be a driving force within our faith communities. Not only that, but God calls us to concern ourselves with government. Romans and 1 Peter talk specifically about our role in governmental affairs as Christians. Finally, when people ask me about how I vote, I'm not ashamed to tell them that I'm a proud single-issue voter. I vote about and on abortion. How someone cares for the most vulnerable among us tells me everything I need to know about every other issue. And to me, there's nothing else as important as abortion. Nothing is as destructive. Nothing is as deadly. Nothing impacts us more. It impacts our economy, our social security, the morality of our society, our birth rate, and our overall humanity. If we're willing to violently kill the most innocent and vulnerable among us, why wouldn't we be willing to abuse and harm others? If we're willing to dehumanize the most marginalized in our society, what makes us think that dehumanization wouldn't spread to other marginalized groups? The elderly, ethnic minorities, the immigrant, the homeless. What we do to the least of these, we do to all. So please stop, faith leaders. Stop muddying the waters in order to justify voting for a candidate that supports killing children in the womb. Nothing else is more important. Nothing is more destructive than abortion. Nothing is killing more innocent human beings. Nothing is more dehumanization. And I dare say, I can't imagine anything that must hurt the heart of our Father more than the sacrifice of His creation in the womb. Stop using God to justify your immoral vote. Abby Johnson's editorial you can find online virtually everywhere, ChristianPost.com, ChristianHeadlines.com. It's entitled, Excuse Me, John Piper, But Pride Does Not Kill Babies. Our final segment and our final segment for the day and the week next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. In the short time we have, I want to share a couple quick stories and maybe close with an email. First story is quite troubling, but business as usual here in our beautiful state of California. L.A. County has fined a Catholic church $1,000 this month after the congregation allowed 11 individuals, including five women in prayer veils, to pray and worship inside the sanctuary in violation of their COVID-19 health restrictions. Citation against Lady of the Angels Catholic Church in Arcadia was issued Thursday, October 15th. The same day, county inspectors say they conducted an investigation and witnessed, quote, approximately 11 parishioners exiting the church facility at roughly 8:45 to 8:55 a.m. out the back door of the facility into the parking lot, end quote. The sanctuary can seat around 500 people. County fined the church $500 for failing to follow the health restrictions and $500 for blocking an inspector from entering the facility. Thomas More Society, which represents the church, says it's considering challenging the actions. Quote, there are dozens of churches in Arcadia, hundreds in L.A. County. Yet the parish of Father Burfitt, who is suing L.A. County, happens to be a church that these county workers choose to spy on and harass, said Special Counsel Paul Jonah. Quote, heaping this harassment on Father Burfitt at the same time that he's asking the California Superior Court to uphold his religious rights and prevent the county from continuing to violate them is unacceptable. The constitutional right to petition for grievances includes the right to file a lawsuit without retaliation or targeting.
Story out of Israel. Archaeologists believe they discovered one of the earliest churches in Israel at the location where they believe Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the church. According to the Times of Israel, the University of Haifa, Dr. Adi Ehrlich announced that the newly found church was built in the 4th or 5th century, and they believe it's absolutely the same church. Historians speculate that the Christians built the church in the Peneus Nature Reserve in Israel's north because of Jesus' interactions with Peter in the area known as Caesarea Philippi. I'll save the email for last. By the way, if you listened to the program yesterday, this hour, this is important. Many of you that are concerned about what's going on right now in Armenia, I had Albert Chukwudaryan in studio for the hour yesterday. Some of you have contacted me and asked, what is his website? How can I get more information? How can I help? Albert and a handful of people have set up a website where you can actually help aid some of the people that are being displaced right now, at the very least. That website is aabcfund.org, aabcfund.org, or send me an email if you missed that, and I'll make sure you get the proper website and information. I'll close with this email from listener Susan. Frank, I was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. My grandmother, father, mother, and my oldest brother worked at a nearby factory, Bethlehem Steel Company. Last year when I visited my older brother, now 83 years old, he told me an incredible story. He stated that during World War II, Bethlehem Steel employed over 50,000 people in the Baltimore and surrounding areas. He said little by little, different mills were being shut down and dismantled. The Chinese were coming in and taking all the machinery. He said that he witnessed them coming in and dismantling every part of one mill down to the broom. Bethlehem Steel could no longer compete with them and eventually shut down completely. Not a trace of it remains there today. What a heartbreaking loss it was for him and many other people in the Baltimore area. Frank, I am voting for Donald Trump. He wants to bring all these businesses like Bethlehem Steel back to this country. Many of the men and women worked to provide for their families and found worth in what they were doing, as my grandmother, father, mother, and my brother did. I believe that men and women in this wonderful country are ready to work hard again if given the opportunities. Listener Susan. When we meet again Monday, Lord willing, it will be the day before the election. Please be safe this weekend. Be prepared but not paranoid. Pray like never before for God's will to be done, which it will. And if you'd like to share anything with me in a confidential email, you're welcome to do that at franksontag@kkla.com. God bless you. I pray you have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday. This is the Frank Sontag Show.